Continuing in mitzvah Shin Vav 306, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, the requirement to count the Omer. We're in the middle of the paragraph Midinei HaMitzvah, where we mentioned that it says that Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tiena, they should be 7 complete weeks, meaning that ideally each day is supposed to be counted in its entirety. So what does it mean that the day is supposed to be counted in its entirety? Meaning, one is supposed to count Sfiras HaOmer at the beginning of the day, which in halacha is the nighttime. Tosfos in the Maseches Menachos even entertains the possibility that it would be even better to start to count Sfiras HaOmer a little before the day starts to make sure that the entire day is counted. But Lemaisa, we reject that. Even Tosfos there seems to reject that because we want to make sure that the Sfiras HaOmer is counted on the actual day. You can't count before the day. You're supposed to, according to the majority of poskim, you have to count the actual day. That's why, lechatchila, we wait until Tzeisa Kochavim, until it's absolutely for certain the day, the correct day, in order to count Sfiras HaOmer. So it seems that there's a difference of opinion amongst the poskim as to whether one should try as much as possible to count Sfiras HaOmer immediately after Tzeisa Kochavim, in order to, again, make sure that, as much as possible, the entire day is counted. Whereas others say, no, the entire nighttime is okay. As long as you count at night, that means that you count it towards the beginning of the day, which means that the entire day, or at least the entire daytime, is going to be counted. And therefore, you would fulfill the precept of Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tihyena. And that they should be 7 complete weeks. Again, we don't find this anywhere in Chazal. Just to recap a little bit from last time, we don't find this anywhere in Chazal, that this refers to the end of the day as well. That if you count early, so that takes away from the count of the previous day. As long as you count to the beginning of one day, so that entire day is considered counted. So even if you count the next day early somehow, again, according to me, it just doesn't work to count the next day early, but even if you did that, it doesn't take away retroactively from the previous day, which is why. But again, this idea that has to be 7 complete weeks was used by the later poskim, and the Rishonim just referring to Kiddush, and some of the later poskim referring to Tfilas Ma'ariv as well, as to why one should not accept Shavuos, or perform liturgy of Shavuos rather, earlier than Tzeisa Kochavim, till it's absolutely the nighttime of Shavuos, because if one would accept Shavuos early, then that would take away from the count of 7 complete weeks. In other words, a whole 49 days have to be completely over before we can start discussing Shavuos. So that's somewhat difficult. Again, in the earlier, the first iterations of this practice, it refers only to Kiddush, that davening Ma'ariv is perfectly fine to do it early, but the later postgame extended to Ma'ariv, and that's the practice in most shuls nowadays, with the exception of some that stick with the old minhagim, including ours, that we daven on Shavuos early, but by the time, not early, but we daven before Tzeisa Kochavim, and you could daven early after Plag in theory, okay, but it's unusual. Again, we pointed out why that's pretty rare on Yontif. People are so busy Erev Yontif that most people don't want to daven make early Yontif, and there's a certain, it's precluded in certain Yamim Tovim to daven early because here, we want to wait till Tzeisa Kochavim to make Kiddush anyway, so you daven at the regular time right after Shkia, so by the time you get home and get settled and you're ready for your meal, it's certainly going to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. Shavuos. Also, we pointed out that there's another reason for this, not just because of Sheva Shabbosos Tvimos Tiena, but that in a certain sense, although it's not technically included in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, the recitation and the sanctification of Shavuos is in a certain sense the 50th day of Sfiras HaOmer. You know, it says one place in the Torah, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, though it doesn't literally mean 50 days, it means 49 days, and to a certain extent, the sanctification of Shavuos is related to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, so in a certain way, it's the 50th day of Sfiras HaOmer. Therefore, since Lechatchila, you don't count Sfira until after Tzeis Kochavim, so the same idea here, you don't make Kiddush on Shavuos until after Tzeis Kochavim. But again, none of these things appear in Chazal explicitly. Therefore, in a case of difficulty, one would be allowed to certainly daven Ma'ariv early, and even, again, and we're trying to do this, it's not our minhag, but if one were ill, for example, and it was really, really difficult to wait until it says Gacham to make Kiddush, so then one would be allowed to daven and even make Kiddush on the night of Shuas early, after Plagim Mincha, like one could do on a regular Shabbos or Yamim Tovim. Again, certain Yamim Tovim, you can't, for technical reasons, you can't make Kiddush until it says, because, like on Sukkot, for example, you want to make the Bracha of Leish of a Sukkah, so that can't be said until it says. And on Pesach, we don't make Kiddush until after it says, because it's part of the Haggadah, it's part of the Arba Kosos, which is supposed to be after say Sukkah. Again, there's a discussion about that, but that's the way we hold. But technically, there's no, in terms of Kiddush per se, there's no problem with making Kiddush early on Yantif as well. Umikal Makom continues the Sefer Chinuch Perusha Mefarshim Shim Shachach Velo Mana Mibarev. What happens if you miss the nighttime? The Gemara doesn't mention anything explicitly about counting Sfiras Omer during the daytime. It just says you're supposed to count Sfiras Omer at night because of this idea of Tamimos, that the day is supposed to be completely counted. So Mona Lamachar Kolayom, that the poskim say nevertheless that you have the entire day to count Sfiras HaOmer if you forgot to count it at night. But again, it's not the best because it's not going to be a complete day, but that you should still do that. V'yesh Amru Shemisha Shachach Velo Mana Yom Echad, that if you forgot and you didn't count one day, what do we know? That we nowadays have this conception that if you forgot one day of Sfiras HaOmer, the entire day, day and night, then you're out. That's what it's called. But that's all. This is called colloquially getting out in Sfiras HaOmer. And if you didn't count one whole day, she'ein yochol imnos od ba'os hashana v'yishukula mitzvachasi. So this is the sheet of the Bahag, the Halachos Gedolos, is that once you forgot to count one day, you know, you're gone. You don't have to count at all the remaining days, because the mitzvah is to count every single day of Sfiras HaOmer, 1 through 49. And if you miss one day, then you cannot count any, you can no longer count Sfiras HaOmer. So you no longer have your count. That's the opinion of the Bahag. And nevertheless, the rest of the rabbis in our generation don't agree with this. They hold that if you forgot one day, you may continue to count the rest of the days of Zomer, because each day is a separate halachic fulfillment, not a separate mitzvah. It's all one mitzvah in the Tariag mitzvahs, but it's all a separate halachic fulfillment, so then there's no problem to continue counting the rest of Sfiras HaOmer. Again, according to the Bahag himself, you don't need to count the rest of the days at all. You don't need to count at all. But since we don't really hold like the Bahag, so we hold you do have to count the rest of the days, but in terms of our practical halachic practice, we hold that we're choshesh for the Bahag to the extent that you don't make a bracha. If you forget one whole day of Sfiras HaOmer, again, you didn't count during the day and you didn't count during the night, you count the entire day of 24 hours, then you would not make a bracha on the remaining days of Sfiras HaOmer. However, really, we don't paskin like the Bahag. We're choshesh for him vis-a-vis the bracha, but when push comes to shove, we hold that you really could make a bracha even for the rest of the days. I mean, fundamentally, even though we're choshesh for the Bahag. So therefore, if there's any reason to disregard the Bahag, so then we do so. So for example, if you think, you know, one day of Sfiras HaOmer, you get to Ma'ariv and you start thinking, oh, today's 23, right? Everybody says, no, today, you know, and then you hear the Chazan count, and he says, day's 24. 24? I don't think I counted 23 already. You know, last night, was I in shul? No, maybe I didn't daven in shul? Did I forget to count? I'm not sure. Maybe I did? So if you have a doubt as to whether you forgot the entire day or not, so then you would continue to count with a bracha, because, again, when push comes to shove, it's only a chumra l'chatchila that we're choshesh for the Bahag vis-a-vis the bracha. There are also, you know, these interesting scenarios. So what happens if you're davening for the Amud during Sfiras HaOmer and Ma'ariv, and you're supposed to, the Chazan, sometimes the Rabbi, Chazan, different practices and different minyan, maybe the Rabbi's not there. So let's say the Shliach Tzibor is supposed to make the bracha and count, and then everybody else, you know, listens, make sure it's the correct day, and then they count themselves. So let's say you're in the the Shliach Tzibor for Ma'ariv, and you're about to do a Sfiras HaOmer, then you start to sweat because you realized, I forgot to count last night. Oh my gosh, I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know, everybody's expecting me now to make the bracha aloud, and you know, it'd be extremely embarrassing if I call someone over to say the bracha. And what am I supposed to do? So in such a situation, again, if you can get out of it, so get out of it. But if it's going to be extremely embarrassing and difficult for you to avoid making the bracha, then you would be allowed to make a bracha in such a situation, because fundamentally, we do not hold like the Bahag. Another thing, actually, that the post can point out is that maybe there'll be someone in the audience who doesn't know how to make the bracha. So they're going to be yotze with your bracha as the chazan, so then you're really making it for that person, so then it's okay. Okay, whatever, but when push comes to shove, like I said, so we hold, strictly speaking, not like the Bahag. Now that I mentioned the chazan, so there's also a question as to whether you can be yotze sviras ha'omer by listening to someone else count. Mm-hmm. The Pasha says not. That the Pasha says that everybody has to actually say the words themselves, and shomea ke'ona does not work for this. Mm-hmm. Svartem lachem, you have to count for yourselves, and you can't just listen to someone else count for you. But again, if you can't speak for some reason, so it's certainly better to listen to someone else count and have kavana to be yotze than not to do it at all.
But the bracha, that doesn't apply. The bracha can be yotze, the bracha.
Right, the bracha for sure, right. Yeah. Okay, so most people disagree with the Bahag. Elamisha Shachach Yom Echad Yomar Emesh Hayukach Velo Bracha Mone Achirim Kol Yisrael. So the Sefer Chinuch says, what should you do if you forget an entire day? Let's say you discover on night 24 that you forgot to count night 23. So on night 24 you say, oh, yesterday was 23 and today is 24. So even though you're not counting on the correct day, since you mentioned the count and you didn't skip an entire number, as you didn't just say, you know, today's 22, then you skip a day, then you say today's 24. You can't just skip straight from 22 to 24. So you have to say on night 24, yesterday was 23 and today's 24. You have to mention the number 23 somehow. So
I don't know if you mentioned it last time, but you have to understand exactly. If your Hebrew is not good enough to understand what you're saying, then you're not Yotze, right?
That's a good point. Yes. Sviras Omer. You have to understand. The Yemenites actually count Sviras Omer in Aramaic as opposed to our normal Hebrew formulation, because they copied what was done in Bavel. Again, now in Yemen they spoke Arabic, not Aramaic, but everybody understood Aramaic. So they just copied what was done in the times of the Gaonim in Bavel, which is the main formulation, the basis of the Yemenite practice. And they continued to count in Aramaic, which is the colloquial language in Babylonia at the time of the Geonim. But we have our Hebrew formulation, and most Jews can understand basic counting in Hebrew, so you can say the Hebrew formulation. But again, if for some reason you really don't understand the Hebrew formulation at all, then yeah, you should absolutely count in English or whatever language you understand. So the Sefer Chinuch is unclear if you must say yesterday was such and such in order to be able to continue counting with a bracha, or he's just recommending that you do that. That's a little bit unclear, but again, lemaisa, this is definitely what you should do. That, again, we would hold you couldn't make a bracha anyway, but if you forget a day, then you would say yesterday was this such and such a day, and today is this day. And again, it's also very appropriate that you should be yotze with someone else's bracha, because, like I said, it's just the chumra that we're choshesh for the bahagli. You don't make a bracha, but if you could listen to someone else's bracha, including the chazans, or the rabbis, or makes the bracha out loud, then you should do that, because really, most poskim hold, you should still count with a bracha, so lechatchila, it's better not to completely neglect to make a bracha, although if you're in a pinch and you're all by yourself, then you would not make the bracha because of the bahag. Okay, then you continue counting normally. So you're supposed to count Sviras Omer standing. Why? It says Mehachil Chermesh Bakama, that when the barley grains start to develop and stand. So it says Bakama, you know, the start of being the barley grains. So it says that it sounds like Koma, which means height. You know, so your entire stature. So it sounds like you should. So the Chazal uses is not a drasha gemura. It's just a cute hint to this in the pasuk. But it's Chazal's determined from this is that you're supposed to count Sviras Omer ideally standing up. But if you can't stand up, or if you didn't stand up, ben b'diavid, you are yotzei. If you didn't make the bracha, you fulfilled your obligation. So once you did it already, you can no longer make the bracha. You counted hayom 23 days of the Omer. Today's 23, and then you say, "Whoops, I forgot to make the bracha. I want to make the bracha." So you make the you would think, you know, maybe I should make the bracha again, and you fulfill the and you count again, but you cannot do that. Once you fulfill the mitzvah, you can no longer make the bracha. Right. Well, you don't want to forget. So the truth is that a lot of people, you know, if they're counting here during Bein Hashmoshes, which we mentioned last time, that according to Tosfos, since Sfiras Omer nowadays is only Derabanan, so you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer during Bein Hashmoshes because of the principle of Sveika Derabanan Lekula, since you have a suffix as to whether Bein Hashmoshes is daytime or nighttime, so you can resolve the doubt lenially and say that it's nighttime in order to count Sfiras Omer, which is only Derabanan. But a lot of poskim disagree with that. A, because maybe Sfiras Omer nowadays is deraisa, which some poskim say. And B, because there are problems with that, because you don't want to put yourself into a situation of a suffix, ideally. So therefore, a lot of... also because there's... Bein Hashmoshes is really only lechumra, and it should not be considered nighttime lekula, which is because there's an ashita of Reb Yossi in the Gemara, which is that Bein Hashmoshes is really much shorter. It's for just a little bit before it says gochavim. Right. So what a lot of people do nowadays, especially that we have our electronic reminders, that we can get our emails or text messages, you know, pretty reliably from various sources, that people a lot of times don't count in shul at all, and they just wait till they get home and they get their reminder at Tzitzik Ochavim in order to do that. But yeah, that is that. But since Tosfos says the Bein Hashmoshes is okay, so you could rely on that. You can make the bracha during Bein Hashmoshes, and then just you have to remember to count without a bracha later. So it's hard to say that one approach is absolutely right and
the
one
idea
is wrong.
Is that sure that the shuls do it because they know people are going to forget, so at least they did it in shul.
Right. I'm sure there's a reason for that. There is a problem that when you daven really early, like after plag, so then it's not even Bein Hashmoshes yet. So then there were certain communities that had the practice that even then they used to make Sfiras Omer in order that people shouldn't forget later, because maybe after plag is okay, but nowadays we don't rely on this. I wouldn't, but in such a situation, so what a lot of people did, since we really hold you're not Yotzi after plag when it's not even Bein Hashmoshes yet, so people used to count Sfiras Omer after plag with the congregation without a bracha. And then when he remembered, and then he used to say, you know, I want to be Yotze now if I don't remember later. But if I remember later, I don't want to be Yotze now. So when he remembered later, after it says Tzitzik Ochavim, so then retroactively he wasn't Yotze at all before, and therefore he can make the bracha now.
Yeah, that's a good...
And not everybody holds that works, but in general I recommend that with the electronic reminders, why not just wait till Tzitzik Ochavim, or at the very least Spanish Moshes. You also have a problem that sometimes people daven Ma'ariv so fast that it might not even be Bein Hashmoshes yet, according to a lot of opinions. That we're machmir for Shabbos and for other purposes, that Bein Hashmoshes begins at what we call sunset, which is when the sun goes below the horizon. But there are shitas that hold that even within Rebbe Yehuda, not the shita I mentioned of Rebbe Yossi, which Bein Hashmoshes is only a couple minutes, a little tiny bit before Tzitzik Ochavim. But even the shita of Rebbe Yehuda, that Bein Hashmoshes is about 15 minutes before, it progresses for about 15 minutes before Tzitzik Ochavim. So Tzitzik Ochavim, in our observation, is not 15 minutes, is you know, maybe like half an hour after sunset, not 15 minutes. So maybe it's not really even Bein Hashmoshes yet. Although for Shabbos, obviously, we're certainly machmer that sunset is sunset is sunset. But that's another reason why one might not want to count in shul, even if they're counting after Ma'ariv, which may because it might not even be Bein Hashmoshes yet, according to many shitas. Okay. It's not Maseches Menachos because the Sfiras Homer is connected to the Korban Homer and the Shtei Halechem, which are offerings of grain. So they're found in Maseches Menachos. So according to the Sefer Achinoch, and this is the majority Shita, actually, Sfiras HaOmer is only Daraisa in a time where there's the Beis HaMikdash, because basically you're counting fundamentally from one Korban to the next. Mm-hmm. From the Korban HaOmer to the Shtei HaLechem. Mm-hmm. So you don't have those Korbanos, then you do not have Sfiras HaOmer Daraisa. Midrabanan, but others hold that it's not connected to that. Rambam famously holds that Sfiras HaOmer now, even nowadays, is Daraisa. It's that it, just its connection to the days of the second day of Pesach, the Shavuos, is enough. And you don't need the Karbanos, so therefore the Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is Daraisa. Umidrabanan b'chol makom afilu hayom she'ein omer karev b'avonoseinu. So now everybody agrees that nowadays Sfiras HaOmer is applicable at least midrabanan. And we point out that the idea that most poskim, like I said, hold that Sfiras HaOmer is nowadays derabanan, which may be part of the reason why we don't count 2 days Sfiras HaOmer, because of the Sfeika d'Yoma. If you neglected to count the days of Sfiras HaOmer and the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you neglected to perform a positive commandment, and nowadays you have neglected to perform a rabbinic commandment. Mitzvah Shin Zayin, Mitzvah 307, Mitzvah's Korban Mincha Chadasha Minachitim B'Yom Atzeres. You have to offer up a mincha, a grain offering of wheat on the day of Shavuos. Akriv yom chagah Shavuos lechem chametz minchita chadasha. A offering of chametz. Now most menachos were matzah; they were not chametz. Nevertheless, this korban it was one of the exceptions. Vezenikra b'kasu mincha chadasha, the new mincha. Vem shtei kikaros, they're 2 loaves. So two esronim of flour, and from your dwelling places, you have to offer this up on the day of Shavuos. This is the way it worked. Of the new crop of wheat. Then you rub them and then you whack them to get the kernels out of the stalks. And you grind them up. And you sift it with 12 sieves. Now, how many sieves were used for the Korban HaOmer?
I think it was 12, right?
Oh, they were 13. Why one more for the Korban HaOmer? Because the Korban HaOmer was barley.
Yeah.
And barley is coarser. It apparently doesn't grind as well. Mm-hmm. And doesn't sift as well as wheat. That's why people... It's a finer type of grain. That's why people normally prefer to bake bread out of wheat than out of barley. Well, for cholent, I guess barley is better. I never tried making cholent with wheat. Maybe you could try. And...
It's for green corn.
Green corn, of course.
Right, that's true. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Only in
Washington. So then you've, but for the, this, which is made of wheat, so you only need 12 sieves. Velochin oslan vosman shtei chalas, you make 2 breads, umavis or, and you bring sourdough, venosno letocha isaron, and you put it in the isaron each. So this is the difference of opinion amongst the Tanoim. Some say you have to sort of get it internally, because not allowed to add extra, you have to get the yeast to ferment it internally. Not clear exactly how. But he's holding here like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you bring sourdough from somewhere else and you can put it in the dough here to make sure that it rises properly. The orech kol chala shiva tvachim. There was 7 tvachim long. The rachba arba'a. And it's 4 tvachim wide. The gofa arba etzbaos. And it's 4 finger breadths tall. Umerubos hayu, and they were rectangular, because it doesn't mean square. If they were 7 by 4, it can't be square. It means rectangular. So they were about this high. Pretty big.
Yeah.
And 7 tvachim, or 7 tvachim like this, something like that. They're pretty big breads. And this is one approach, but the other approach actually is that it was shorter throughout most of the length of the bread, and it was just the corners. They put decorations on the corners. So instead of a flat rectangular loaf, they actually just built up to that height of 4 etzbos on the corners to make like a little mizbeach, you know, like it was a flat thing with horns. of Ofen Osan may erev yantif ulemachar achar anafasa you necholos lakohanim kol oso yom lachatzi alayla. So you used to bake it before yantif, and if Shabbos fell right before Shavuos, they would bake it before Shabbos. And it was just offered, in other words, it was waved in front of the altar, sort of waved, and then it was in the base of Mikdash. And then after that, then it would be eaten for a day and a half by the Kohanim. So the Menachos, the regular Menachos, all come from wheat, and this was the first one. So what's the idea? The idea is that the Korban HaOmer permits Chadash, the new crop of grain, to be consumed by people in general. And the Korban HaOmer, I'm sorry, the Shtei HaLechem permits the new crop of wheat to be used for Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. So one permits new grain for human consumption, and one permits, as it were, new grain for divine consumption.
So the second one is for divine consumption, the Shtei HaLechem, right?
Yeah. Then you're allowed to use a new crop of wheat for the Menachos. Umakridim al halechem shiva kvasim tmimim ufar ben bakar echad ve'elim shnayim la'ola. And accompanying this shtei halechem, they used to offer up seven lambs and a calf and two rams. They were all olos. They were burnt on the altar. V'sir lachatos, and one goat for the chatos. V'shnei kvasim l'shlamim, and two lambs as shlamim, which were eaten. Ve'elu hein hakorbanos ha'amuras. And this is what's mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar, but it's transposed over here. You'll notice that it's not really Bamidbar over here. Here it's talking about, it really is mentioning the Karbanos from Vayikra. And where it says later, Bamidbar really means, Vayikra, I'm sorry, it really means Bamidbar. So it's switched. Kol zaya karev im alechem ilvad korban musaf hayom shushnei parim. This is also included, offered with the bread besides the korban musaf, which was shushnei parim v'ayalechad v'shivak vasim lola. Two bulls, one ram, seven lambs. Allah has burnt offerings, Osiris in Lachatos, and a goat as a Chatos. V'ilai korbanos amuros v'sefer v'ikra, but again, it doesn't really mean v'ikra, it means the opposite, okay. V'perish nizbar kein v'perik revim im menachos, the fourth perik of Masechas menachos, shazea korban yavo im halechem cholok im musaf hayom. That the korban we mentioned before is separate from the musaf. So the Kohanim used to make a sandwich. Okay, they didn't really have to make a sandwich, but they used to eat the bread from the Shtei HaLechem, and then they used to eat the parts of the Korbanos that could be eaten, namely the lambs, which came as Korban Shlamim, which of course are eaten. Mishor Shea Mitzvah. The reasoning behind the mitzvah is as follows. So the reasoning for the mitzvah sa'omer is also works for the shtei alechem, which is that we have to get the bracha regarding the new crop of wheat. And you have to pay attention to it. That this was specifically done with wheat because it's made into loaves. And then the Korban Omer was done with barley. So since people eat wheat more than barley, so this Korban was supposed to be wheat in order to get people more attached to it. So here, again, I don't know why the Korban HaOmer, it doesn't really explain himself why the Korban HaOmer was barley, which is what's really making the new crop edible for human consumption, why we have to pay more attention to divine consumption. Not exactly clear.
Probably because there is more simcha with the wheat is like the main crop. So
people are happy about being able to eat chadash themselves anyways, so you don't need the wheat, but in order, we wanted people to get more excited about the fact that chadash can now be used for the menachos.
Yeah.
Okay. Medine ha-mitzvah ma'asha amru she'im lo matzu chadash yaviyu min ha'aliyah. That the new even though it serves to permit the new crop of wheat for divine consumption, if you have no new wheat available, then you could take from last year's crop as well. You can bring down from the attic. That's literally what it means. V'chitin sheyardu be'ovim lo yovi lechatchila. That, let's say, there was a storm and it sucked up some wheat, and then it rained the wheat down elsewhere. Okay, so are you allowed to use that? Lo yavi lechatchila, you shouldn't lechatchila use that. V'sheyesh basafik yimanei korim imoshev oseichem. It says in the Torah that's supposed to be from your dwelling places. So it's supposed to be from, you grew it and you brought it out as a korban. That's supposed to be that it's coming down, raining down from heavens. V'mhevi kosher, but b'di'eved, since there's a suffix, so you don't want to repeat the korban, so that if you did bring from wheat that rained down upon you, then it would the korban would be valid. Lishasan shel shtei halechem arichasan b'chutz. So the kneading of this korban, the shtei halechem, and the preparation, the formation of the loaves, was outside the temple precincts. V'afiyasan bifnim kechol ha-menachos. It was baked inside the temple courtyard, just like the rest of the menachos. V'afiyasan doche yantif. You're not allowed to bake the shtei halechem on yantif. Why? Shenemar yeyaseh lochem velo lagavoa. That God says that you're allowed to do stuff. You're allowed to bake things for you on yantif, but not for me. Interesting. Okay. Even though the kohanim eat it, right? So, the main purpose of this is to be as the korban, and that's sort of ancillary. That once it's made, the kohanim might as well eat it. But you're not allowed to bake. Again, if you could get away with it, avodah is docha Shabbos and Yontif, but here you could get away without it by baking it before Yontif, so therefore you're not allowed to bake the korban on Yontif. Hanofas alechem in shnei kivsei hashlamim, haisanaseh is beodon chayim, that the waving of the bread with the two lambs that were used for the edible korban, the shlamim, was done while the lambs were still alive. V'choen gadol no talachas min akikaros. And the way the Kohen Gadol got one entire bread, and the rest was distributed amongst all the Kohanim that were there. Each Mishmar got a little tiny piece. Okay, it's explained in Maseches Nachos 4, 5, 8, and 11. But it applies to male Kohanim, Kimosha Kosavnu, Mitzvahs HaOmer. And the same thing as the Raya regarding the Korban Homer. Mitzvah Shinches, 308. Mitzvah Shvisa Mimlacha B'yom Atzeres. Not to do, to refrain from Malacha on the day of Shavuos. Lishbos Mikom Malacha, Zlosim Hashem Yuchad Letzorech Halchon Nefesh B'yom Shisha B'Sivan. That to refrain from doing Malacha on the 6th of Sivan. Hello? How can he formulate the prohibition, the requirement to refrain from Malacha, as being on the 6th of Sivan? Shavuos is not always on the 6th of Sivan. Shavuos can be on the 5th, 6th, or 7th of Sivan, depending on how many days Nisan and Iyar have that year. Okay, and our fixed calendar, Shavuos always is on the 6th of Sivan, because Nisan always has 30 days and Iyar always has 29 days. But if you're Mekadosh HaPiyar Iyar and you play by year, you know how many days each month has, so it can fall on the 5th, 6th, or 7th. He's just probably doing shorthand that, nowadays it's on the 6th of Sivan.
Yeah, and why
hard to arrange your vacation time?
Yeah,
on the old way.
Right. You can't tell your boss what day you're taking off until Pesach. Yeah. No, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You know what day Rosh Chodesh Nisan is. You know what day Pesach is. Just say 50 days after. It doesn't matter what day.
Yeah, that's right. Sure.
Yeah. You tell your boss. You have to. You can give him
50 days.
2 months notice. Yeah. You can't give him more than 2 months notice. You can give him a range. You can say, once you start getting an idea, there's only a certain number of days that Rosh Chodesh Nisan could potentially be. So you can give him a couple options. Okay.
Yeah, why is it a separate mitzvah?
Shezeu nikra chag haShavuos. Shenemar krosem be'etzem ayom hazeh mikra kodesh. That you shall declare on this very day a declaration of holiness. We pointed out last time that the Nitziv has this very odd chiddush over here. That this is the only yontif where it says ukrasem be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day. So the Nitziv says, well, that answers your question. Well, why should we have this issue that we don't want to daven Ma'ariv until Tzeis HaKochavim on Shavuos night? And maybe, according to some shittas, women shouldn't even light candles till Tzeis HaKochavim on Shavuos night. So you don't, but that these are all problems, because really, normally, we assume there's a concept of Tosefes Yontif. You're supposed to add time to the beginning of Yontif. So how can you wait till Tzeis Gochal? Yeah. You're supposed to have Tosefes Yontif. Okay, you could refrain from doing Malacha, but really you're supposed to actively accept Tosefes Yontif. So he says, oh, from the Pasuk that it says, Ukrasem be'etzem ayom hazeh, on this very day, you see that Shavuos is the exception. There's no Tosefes Yontif on Shavuos, it's only etzem hayom hazeh. No, but here, well, you have the problem before that you don't want to take away from the last day of Sfira, but afterwards, you're just going into Chol. So it's not that there's a... In other words, according to this, you would specifically not have Tosefes Yontif before, but afterwards there could be. Yeah, to be maybe you're just giving a smach to the minhag or something. But as someone in the 19th century has his own drushes to eliminate something that's assumed to be the din that if every Yontif needs Tosefes Yontif, it's gone a little. This idea of Tamimos, they have to start Shavuos. After Tzeis is, it just has these evolution of being taken a little bit too far. This is really not right. There's never no mention anywhere in Chazal or the Rishonim anywhere that there's not a mitzvah Tosefes Yontif on Shavuos. Every Yontif and every Shabbos has Tosefes Yontif and Shavuos. So that's why on Shavuos we certainly we don't take this too far. Again, in our shul we certainly don't take this too far because we daven Ma'ariv after Shkia. But even that, so the women light candles before sunset and we accept Tosefes Yontif. Yeah. That's a positive commandment that you should sanctify it and not do labor. That we have to focus on the miracles that God did for us in our relationship with God on that day, and work would only interfere. Ovamino Heges applies to everyone. We did it already, but this and the original order of Sefer Chinuch came later when we talked about the first day of Pesach. Shalola mitzvah shintes mitzvah 309. Shalola asos malacha biyom chag haShavuos. Not to do malacha on the day of chag of Shavuos. Shalola asos malacha biyom atzeres shozeo yom shishi b'sivan. Again, he says the sixth day of Sivan, but it's not always the sixth day of Sivan. Shenemar svartem lachem imacharas haShabbos. I should just also mention that the question, right now that we're mentioning the date of Shavuos, so the question is, why do we keep 2 days of Shavuos? Because everyone knew, by the time Shavuos came around, it was, you know, a month and a half after Pesach, and all the shluchim had gotten there already. They didn't necessarily get there by Pesach, but everybody knew by the time of Shavuos the exact day that Pesach was. So why do you need to keep 2 days of Shavuos? So again, we find this idea that Chazal were very concerned about keeping 2 days Yontif. That they established that we make brachas on that day, and they are a lot of chumras. They were very, very, very into the second day Yontif in a manner that for in other areas of halacha, you might say, oh, it's only the Rabbanan, and then they have come up with kulas. But they are very, very stringent about Yontif Sheni. So therefore they said, well, people are going to get really confused if you have to keep 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, first day's Pesach, second day's Pesach, and you don't have to keep 2 days Shavuos. So therefore you have to keep 2 days Shavuos also. But fundamentally, in a certain manner of looking at it, the second day of Shavuos is more, conceptually, more lenient than the other days of Shavuos. That's why the second days of Yontif. That's why there's an interesting case where at I think it's in the Chasam Sofer that the Chasam Sofer was asked to Shaila that there's a man who's on his deathbed and he has no children and his only brother is some faraway place and he'll be inaccessible to give his wife chalitza. So this is the second day of Shavuos. So they said, well, maybe on the second day of Shavuos, because it's more lenient, because there's less of a conceptual basis for it. It's more minag-like than it is. So then maybe we should write a get on the second day of Shavuos for this man to give his wife a get, so they'll be divorced, so she doesn't have to undergo a chalitza, and
but
she won't have...
her inheritance?
What?
Oh, you said he has no children. All
right. So, well, so she doesn't have to undergo chalitza. So, this is not looked on very kindly. It's not, no, all the second day Yom Tovim are the same. You're not allowed to write on the second days of Yontif. and this was rejected soundly. So I hope everything worked out for this couple, but they were not allowed to write a get on the second day of Yom Tov. Yeah? Now, that's different if the get is written already, so ordinarily we do not effectuate divorces on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But in an emergency type of situation such as this, so we would allow the husband to give his wife the get on Shabbos or Yom Tov. However, here we're talking about writing the get, which is a real...
Is it get muksa?
A get, that's an interesting question. That a get is probably, certainly a used get is not muktzah because you can learn from it. You could learn, you know, the halachos of writing a get from it. The question is, a get that has not yet been given is very precious to people. They don't want it, anything to happen to it. So it might have, you might have a question of muktzah, machmas, chisaron, kiss. But fundamentally, get is not muktzah, no. Fine. Umpero, so it says, Usfartem lachem imacharas a Shabbos, Tisperu chamishim yom, Utherush imacharas a Shabbos, Glomer macharas yom tavrishon, Shalpesach, Shuodivar batchila. We discussed this already about that when it says that you count from the second, from the Shabbos, doesn't mean Saturday, it means the first day of Pesach. The Eve, Shabbos, Rashizim, Kain, Lo, Yidiu, Eza, Eza, who doesn't say explicitly which one, Venimsa, Shachamishim yom, Kalim, Vashisha, Besivan, Keitza, Tesu, Yamiminisan, Shumale, La Olam. This is only obviously works in our fixed calendar. So there are 15 days till the end of Nisan, from starting from Pesach. The Chavtes Me'iyar, 29 from Iyar, which is Chaser Lolo, which in our fixed calendar is always has 29 days. V'shisha Me'sivan, and 6 days of Sivan, Hare Chamishim, that's 50 days. V'yom Chamishim Zeh, Shehaya Yom Shenidna Bo Torah, Hu Chag HaTzeres. This is the day that the Torah was given. Yeah, the Torah doesn't mention this explicitly. It's based on various calculations that some say the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan and some say the 7th of Sivan. So we assume that was on the 6th of Sivan.
So it's not necessarily on Shavuos then?
According to that, if Shavuos is on...
Shavuos is not necessarily going to be in the Sidro.
Well, we're lucky that we celebrated the day of Shavuos on the 7th of Sivan anyway, because the second day Yom Tov. But in the olden days, when Shavuos fell on the 5th of Sivan, and you really hold the Torah is given on the 7th of Sivan, that there's you wouldn't say Zman Matan Torah Seinu.
You wouldn't say it.
Yeah, it's, you have a different davening. But nowadays we have the fixed calendar. The davening as we know it now was established after the fixed calendar. So anyway, yeah. V'nikra gam kein Chag HaShavuos, the Feast of Weeks.
Wait, Zman what then? What do you have to say something there? You're,
you know. What would you say?
In Kiddush or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so what Zman is it then?
Bikurenu, Shtelach Menu, I don't know. Vyoma Bikurim, Vyom Bikurenu, Zman Bikurenu, Mikra Kodesh. That's a good question. That's a good question. Chosuv, there's a whole discussion about exactly how you calculate the day that the Torah was given. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you say Pashit. I don't know. Maybe this is too balabatish. I haven't seen this anywhere. But maybe you don't commemorate the date. And you normally in Judaism you commemorate the date of the month. But maybe you don't. You commemorate the fact that it was 50 days after Pesach. Yeah, Zman. Right, the month, the round, the season. Yeah, yeah. Some people say that this was also a shaila. I mentioned this when I was a couple years ago on Shavuos when I was talking about the dateline. So you have a problem with the dateline that famously the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that if you cross the halachic dateline and you lose a day, you gain a day. Well, it depends which direction. But let's say for a second in this example, you gain a day. So you have a second day. Now your Sfiras HaOmer is off from everybody else's. So you have now an extra day of Sfiras HaOmer. You're ahead a day from everyone else. So the Babitcher Rebbe said, Paskind Halacha L'maisa, that you keep Shavuos on the 50th day of your personal count.
Oh, that's crazy.
You keep Shavuos on the 50th day of your personal count. The same day if you cross the international day line on the other way, so then you lose a day of Sfiras HaOmer. And you count, you keep Shavuos a day later than everybody else. He said, "Lemaisa, you shouldn't do malacha because you're in a place where they do where they're keeping Shavuos." But it's a little wacky. That's true. But he was very into this, and he was. There's a cute story that one time somebody was davening in 770 who had come from Australia I was visiting Brooklyn from Australia, and he crossed the date line during Sfiras HaOmer. So he had an extra day. So he kept Shavuos. So for him, according to this cheshbon of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he should keep Shavuos a day before everyone else.
It's like in Australia. He has to keep Shavuos like in Australia, in other words. So he started counting.
Basically,
Australia,
yeah.
Then he has to continue counting as if he's in Australia, not to switch to the new calendar. Yeah.
Right, because it goes by the sunrises and sunsets that you personally experience. Doesn't go based on the community. So apparently everyone, this year, Shavuos fell on Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. So the 3-day Yontif. So this was the Shabbos, you know, Erev Shavuos.
But what about
everyone else? So he said, so apparently everyone was going around. Let's say Mrs. Birnbaum is this fellow from Australia. So apparently everyone was, I'm going to be the Rebbe. So the Rebbe was, everyone was coming to the Rebbe and saying, and greeting him after the services on Friday night. So the Rebbe said, good Shabbos. So this he held very stark from this, that it goes by your personal account and not what the community is celebrating as Shavuos, because it doesn't go by the calendar. It goes by the number of days counted. So Lemaisa, this is a machlokas regarding the sphera. Some hold
Shabbos for you is what where Shabbos is where you
correct.
Are.
Correct, because Shabbos goes by the day,
Shabbos
the calendar.
Is in New York for you.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But here it's because Shavuos goes by the count,
okay.
Not by the day. Not by the date, right?
So if you forgot to count, then you wouldn't have Shavuos at all. Right?
Bingo.
That's what some of the arguments. That's exactly right. So that's.
It
doesn't go by whether you personally recited the count. It goes by what day it should be where you are. I mean, in terms of your personal number of sunrises and sunsets that you've experienced.
But there's no such thing as a personal yontif. I mean, this is just
According to you, there's no such thing. Right, according to the Bavitcher Rebbe, there is.
But does everybody else hold by it like that?
Oh, no. So some hold like that regarding the count of Sfiras HaOmer, actually,
yeah,
that it goes by your personal count. Mm-hmm. But some hold it goes by where you are, even the counting Sfiras HaOmer.
Okay.
But the truth is that amongst normative poskim, almost everybody disagrees with the Lubavitcher Rebbe and says that no matter what your personal count is, you celebrate Shavuos according to the place where you are and not according to the place where you go. The Minchas Yitzchak brings an interesting raya, which says, just imagine in the times of the Beis HaMikdash if this happened. So you'd be going, let's say you cross the date line and you go to Shavuot and you go to Yerushalayim and, I'm celebrating Shavuos a different day, but they're offering the Korban Omer on my behalf, the Shtei Lechem, rather, on my behalf on this day that's in Yerushalayim. It says it makes no sense. Obviously, Shavuos, it goes by the count in Yerushalayim and, you know, whatever your personal place is in vis-a-vis Yerushalayim, but not completely your own personal
count.
Do
they have the concept of international dateline in the days of...
Nobody crossed it, really, pretty much, but there is such a concept in halacha. Yeah, we can't go into all the details about what constitutes a dateline in halacha, but this is a very unique shita of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's known for this, but again, vis-a-vis the holiday of Shavuos per se, the consensus of the normative poskim is that that's not true. You follow the date of Shavuos wherever you are. The chasuv besofa parsha alza yom anichbad kol meleches avodah lo sasu. You should not do any work. So meleches avodah is talking about work that is not for ochel nefesh and that is not allowed on yantif. Shorish mitzvahs hamoed hazeh ramuz b'mitzvah sfiras omer shebeseder zeh. So this is the same reasoning as Sfiras HaOmer, Yud Aleph, Vikachenu, Misham, they were counting down, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, from the day of leaving Egypt to the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was receiving the Torah. Which again is that reasoning is difficult, because the Shavuos, again, does not always fall on the exact day of the counting of the Torah, but close to it. The Dinea, Kasavdi, Ksasa, Mithagi, Kibeshis, Melecha, B'yom tevrishon shal Pesach b'seder zeh bein zorech laharich b'shar yemei moadei hashana ki sheish yemei moadim hayiduim v'hein rishon shvi shal Pesach rishon shmi shal chag v'atzeres v'rosh hashana dinecha l'chulan l'chol So all of that, I don't need to explain all the halachos of Shuas, the work on Shuas, because it's exactly the same as Rosh Hashanah and the first and last days of Pesach and the first and last days of Sukkot. I mean, Shemini Atzeres, rather, the last days of Sukkot. It's all the halachos of Yantif are found in Maseches Beitza.